It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Finding solutions to fix West Virginia's education system isn't always easy.
If I thought that charter schools were the absolute solution to improving student achievement in our state for all of our students, I would have jumped behind it, but I've just simply read too much research.
We'll explore several areas of West Virginia's education challenges coming up. This is West Virginia Morning. Republican candidates in West Virginia's 2020 congressional races appear to be significantly outraising Democrats, according to third quarter campaign finance reports. Dave Mistich has more.
Republican Senator Shelley Moore Capito has nearly $2.4 million cash on hand for her reelection bid in 2020. She raised nearly $500,000 from July 1 to the end of September. Democrat Paula Jean Swearengin raised almost $48,000 in the same period and reports nearly $34,000 on hand. Incumbent Republican David McKinley of the 1st District raised nearly $90,000 this quarter. That's about 25 times what his Democratic opponent, Natalie Klein, brought in over the same period. In the 2nd District, Republican Alex Mooney hauled in about $228,000 in the third quarter, which puts him at more than $1.6 million cash on hand. Democrat Kathy Kunkel raised nearly $60,000 and now has more than $46,000 cash coming into the final quarter of the year. Freshman Congresswoman Carol Miller, a Republican from the 3rd District, raised more than $94,000 this quarter. Hillary Turner, one of two Democrats hoping to challenge Miller in 2020, took in less than $1,000. A third quarter report for Lacey Watson, who is also running in the 3rd District as a Democrat, was not immediately available on the Federal Election Commission's website. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Dave Mistich.
We pick up this morning with a conversation with State Superintendent of Schools Stephen Payne. When asked what keeps him up at night about the school system, he points to student and teacher absenteeism, and even more than that, the stark deterioration of student well-being.
Just really troublesome when we have homeless kids or when we have foster kids who are running away from their foster care environments. When we see an exponential spike in the numbers of kids who are born with neonatal abstinence syndrome. Those are real issues for us right now.
Education reporter Glennis Board spoke with Superintendent Payne about these and other issues. Here's some of that conversation.
Well, let's talk a little bit about absenteeism then. It was reported 38% of schools aren't meeting attendance standards. I know this is a concern of yours, and also teacher absenteeism. You were vocal about this last year as well. So what do we know about how absent teachers are? I mean, you talk about some counties increasing the money that they spend on substitute teachers. You know, that figure has tripled. How are we facing that challenge?
I'll start with students first. It was extremely troubling when the data came in for what we call our balanced scorecard. It's the accountability mechanism that we're required to report out by the federal government. And whereas we went up in almost all the other indicators, that was an area where we declined. And why it's troubling is that we made that in our districts and our schools, I thought, made that a priority to work on last year. And yet performance levels went down. We are analyzing as to why that occurred. But nevertheless, the numbers are deplorable, and there's no other way to say it. And is the school responsible for that? Well, you could say yes, in part. But the problem is parents or guardians or somebody need to get up in the morning, need to get their kids prepared for school, and need to get them to school and make sure that they go to school, period.
Well, I mean, but let me just interject here. I mean, yeah, we know that parents need to get their kids in and what have you. But doesn't it also reflect that maybe schools' environments aren't a place that kids want to be? You know, I mean, if kids wanted to be there, wouldn't that help?
I think that your point is well taken, and it's a fair point. If we make school an attractive and inviting place, if instruction in every classroom is engages kids actively, I mean, you know, let's face it, our kids grow up in a very digital world right now. The stimuli that affects our kids today requires almost a song and dance by a classroom teacher who is well trained, who can compete with the kind of stimuli that kids go through with their iPhones or their smartphones or computers or their digital worlds today. So it's a challenge, and it's a tremendous challenge. And yes, I think there's an obligation on behalf of all of our teachers, our administrators, myself, our Department of Ed, local boards of education, to make sure that we're delivering the kind of education that is enticing and attracts kids. Having said that, I can't tell you how proud I am of the numerous classrooms and schools that do, in fact, make school a very warm and inviting place. We have teachers that care deeply about their kids. And so if we can just figure out a way for the successful 80% or whatever of our schools, for all of that secret formula, if you will, or their strategies to be captured by those that aren't doing so right now, we would be very well served. You know, we've called on district administrators and local boards of education to step up their role. We don't educate these kids. We don't manage their schools in Charleston. We do a lot of policy. We provide supports. And we've been challenged by the governor and the legislature to allow for much more local flexibility. My mantra is clearly this: local flexibility brings robust accountability. So they have the flexibility. Now it's time to step up and show the responsibility and the accountability for performance in the schools. And so that means that we're going to have to step up, and we've tried to be very, very supportive. We may have to, you know, alter the way that we monitor the situation and deal with consequences for those that are chronic offenders that can't meet any kind of a responsible standard with attendance. That goes for teachers too. And I mean, a 93% attendance rate for teachers to me is abysmal.
Sure. Well, you mentioned that you made this a priority, dealing with absenteeism. How have you made that a priority? What has been implemented? What policies have been implemented?
Well, we have really made this a priority as we've met with superintendents, as we meet with attendance directors. They've clearly understood it's been a State Board of Education priority. And we have not done much in terms of stepping up or modifying or altering our attendance policies and so forth. Frankly, we're going there next. And we thought we'd take the approach to encourage and point out the problem through exposing the data, being transparent with the data, pointing out the problem, trusting our local administrators, our principals, our local boards of education, and our teachers to really step up the effort to get kids to come to school, working with their parents and their communities. It hasn't worked. And so we are not going to go through this school year without addressing some mechanism and policy for enforcement of attendance laws and attendance performance.
That was State Superintendent of Schools Stephen Payne speaking with education reporter Glennis Board. In just a moment, we'll hear more from him about charter schools and efforts to improve student mental health. This is West Virginia Morning. It's 7:51. Breezy today with a chance of rain in the east, light snow possible in the eastern mountains, clearing throughout the day with highs in the 40s and 50s. Mostly cloudy skies tonight with lows in the 30s and low 40s. Mostly cloudy on Friday with gradual clearing in the afternoon, highs in the 50s and 60s. Support for the weather forecast is provided by Jaeger Airport CRW, West Virginia's gateway to the world. More at JaegerAirport.com. We rejoin our conversation now with Superintendent Stephen Payne. Glennis Board spoke with him about the state of education in West Virginia, especially in the wake of recent legislation.
You know, you spoke a little bit about legislation and the legislation that passed this summer. What are your biggest concerns or interests going forward now that bill has passed?
I want to applaud the legislature for providing $30.5 million to address what we call the social, emotional, mental health needs of our children. And we've identified some of that already in terms of kids that come from opioid addiction backgrounds or perhaps addictions themselves. Recently, DHHR has talked about the number of runaway foster care children. It's a major problem. The exponential rise with the neonatal abstinence kids, children, and the implications that they're growing up and entering our school systems. This money can be spent by our districts in a very flexible manner. We provided them with guidelines to say, take that money and spend it very wisely by analyzing your data in your school districts and in your schools and figuring out how to best utilize that money to support the needs of those kids.
I want to transfer now to the question of charter schools, which is, of course, a really big, a very hot point with legislation. Have you heard from county boards of education or superintendents who are considering charter options at this point?
We've done some work in discussing the with broad representation from stakeholders, both pro-charter and both against charter. We spent a lot of time asking them, because the state board needs to develop a policy around charter schools, what their thoughts and their ideas are around the issue. We invited some superintendents and boards where we suspected there could be a request for charter schools to come forward from local boards of education. And I have not heard one yet that is really interested in moving forward with a charter school concept. It's a little bit still early, and there may be those that wait for the state board policy to be developed. We'll be fast-tracking that within the next 6 months to get out there. I've talked to one district superintendent who there had been some interest, but they basically have said that they're not interested. They're interested in the innovation that goes along that sometimes is used as a reason to do a charter school, but they're not interested in starting a charter school. That was a very, very divisive issue. And if I thought that charter schools were the absolute solution to improving student achievement in our state for all of our students, I would have jumped behind it. But I've just simply read too much research and too much behind the whole notion of charter schools. There are some that work. There are some that don't work. They reflect basically what happens in every one of our schools.
Are there goals or ideas or legislation or bills that you would like to see going forward into our next legislative session?
I'm looking forward to no legislation right now, quite frankly. We've had enough. We need to get our feet underneath us. Mm-hmm. We need to implement in good faith and with good fidelity of implementation, and maybe give us a chance to do that implementation without distraction, where we don't have to go through proposed walkouts or controversial issues such as charter schools or savings accounts or whatever it might be.
Right.
And let us just get about the business of educating our children to the best of our ability.
State Superintendent of Schools Stephen Payne speaking with Glynis Board. You can find the full conversation at wvpublic.org. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.